Let us pray. Our Father, we ask that you grant to us wisdom and revelation in your word this evening. We ask that our hearts be established in the truth concerning faith and healing, to be able to walk in the light of it and help others too. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Exodus 15, we have been looking at faith and healing. And my brother Higgin will say, faith and healing are such important subjects that if you don't need it for yourself, you need it for someone that you know. I consider these truths one of the most fundamental in Christianity. Faith and healing. Something you must know very well for yourself and then for others that you know that you can minister to. When we come to you for help. Now, Exodus 15, 26, we've seen the B part. It says, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And the word healeth is actually from Rapha, where you have doctor. Remember? Remember that? I am a doctor. That's, you know, precisely what he was saying. And we said that the word Rapha is not just curative. It's also what? Remember that? It's also what? Preventive. That means he can prevent it. Praise God. So we can also see, did you discover that throughout the four Gospels, we never heard of Jesus laying hands on any of his disciples to be healed. And that's something you think about. We never heard of any of them who was with him. Closest was in Matthew's Gospel chapter 8, when he goes into the house of Peter and then lays hands on Peter's mother-in-law. That is his wife's mom. That's the closest we have. And then that's Matthew 8. You can see that from verse 13 and 14. Now, we also have Mary Magdalene, who was his disciple, not one of the 12, but obviously one of those who accompanied with Jesus, all right? And she had demons, the Bible says in Luke's Gospel chapter 8, cast out of her. That was before she became a disciple. That's the closest that we have. But we don't have anybody who was in the ministry team of Jesus recorded that he or she had Jesus minister to them to be healed. Is that clear? Is that clear? So, like I said earlier, the word Rapha is not just curative, it's also preventive. I realize also that there's preventive medicine. Am I correct? To be correct, I know it does exist, where what the doctors do or the scientists do is to ensure that you don't catch diseases. And that's just, you know, basically. And I think that when it comes to healing, we'll come to that next week or the week after. And we will be looking at how to, you know, there's something about healing in the curative and there's preventive, where you're actually walking in divine healing before there's any symptom or disease. Are you still there? Alright. Obviously, like we said last week, when Paul was talking to Timothy about his orphan infirmities, obviously when he was saying that, Timothy was not ill. He was definitely talking to him about preventing it. Still out there? Alright, we said that last week. So, there is curative aspect, there's preventive. And Rapha deals with both. Now look at Psalm 107. Are you still there? Are you still there? And there's Psalm 103 that we saw last week, where the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives thee of all thine iniquities, and heals thee of how many? All thine diseases. Now, we have one in Psalm 107 that I want us to pay attention to because we sang a song that came from that verse of scripture. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Obviously, we sing the song, "You are the Lord that healeth me, you sent your word." But this scripture really doesn't apply in the present tense literally. It was an historical reference. Okay? Because just like we read Exodus 15:26, where he said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Obviously, immediate reference refers to Israel. But you see, it doesn't change the fact that he is a healer. Okay? Are you following what I'm saying? And it's consistent with his character. But look at this. He sent his word and healeth thee, or healeth them. Okay? And delivered them from their destructions. Actually, in the Hebrew, all right, the deliverance from destruction comes first. Okay? It comes first. That is, he explains the healing from the destructions. And why it's so is that, like we studied before, healing in the Old Testament doesn't just refer to physical healing. Sometimes it's talking about forgiveness of sin. Sometimes it's talking about salvation. But so when it starts with deliverance, they delivered them from their destructions. I'd like us to look at the word destructions. Now, the word destructions is something we'll quickly consider because it comes first. Is the word shachith in the Hebrew. I'll spell it for you. S-C-H-I-T-H. Now, it's taken from a word that is used for worship. Interestingly, that's the word shasha in the Hebrew. S-A. So, S-H-A-C-H-A-H. S-H-A-C-H-A-H. Such as used for worship. You know why? Because worship in the Old Covenant means to bow down. To bow down. To be down. To be prostrate. I've just discovered that you read the four Gospels and then they'll say that somebody was possessed and then he worshipped Jesus. Now, that's not true. What happens was he fell down at his feet. Do you understand that? Again, demonic men didn't worship Jesus. But it meant that as he got to Jesus, he fell down. So, it's the same way. Shasith and Shasha, it means to bow down. So, we'll come to what it means in a moment. To bow down. Obviously, what in the negative, that will mean they were brought down or weighed down. While Shasha, when it is done by the person, it's worship because it's will worship. That means he did it himself. But when you have to do it, then it becomes oppressive. You get that? Do you understand what I'm talking about? It becomes oppressive. I know, for example, you want to greet your uncle or your dad in Yoruba land, precisely. You say, "Good morning, sir." Then you prostrate. That's will worship. But I'm aware, for instance, when I was in the boarding house, a good senior can give you a daddy slap. You know, there's a slap and there's a daddy slap. I mean, nautically, they are not the same. When you receive a daddy slap, you know, or what we call in government college, kafa. You know kafa? Lance, you know what kafa is. What's kafa? It slides you up from your ankle. That's kafa, like you know it. So, because there was a senior we had then, Gafara, who came from Chad. So he brought kafa. So you know, and the guy goes down. Bah! He's on the floor, but not wheel worship. That is Sheshif negatively referring to oppressive coming down, oppressive. Do you understand? Good. So, He said, he delivered them from their destruction. The word there is malat in the Hebrew. M-A-L-A-T. It means to escape. To escape from something that weighs you down, or to escape from something that brought you down. Malat. So he says, he delivered them from their destructions. Now, notice that the word sheshith, okay, one more time, the word sheshith actually also refers to a peat. A peat. Shasha is the one that I told you took it from. That's a better word. Lamentations 4:20. A peat. Now, when this was used, it was used in the plural form, because that's exactly how it sounded in the Hebrew. From their destructions. From their peats. So, more than one. Are you still there? Are you following this? So, he said they escaped. And he tells you how he did it. He healed them. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed them. The word there is dabar in the Hebrew means to speak. So he's saying he healed them, which is Rapha, which we were talking about. Rapha. Watch this again. So, the previous text makes a lot of sense. Then they, watch this, cry out unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Well, there's plural, out of their distresses, which is plural in form, again, distresses, more than one. How do you get that again? Look at 13, or verse 6. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and deliver out of their distresses. Verse 6. Verse 13, Psalm 107. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. So it goes on and on. He emphasizes that fact out of their distresses. Then verse 28. Cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bring them out of their distresses. So, in the word here, he is basically to be weighed down by an oppressive element, something that is oppressive. So they were down, weighed down. So they escaped. And then he explains that escape as being healed. So notice that. Psalm 107 and verse 2, verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The word so is not in the original. So let the redeemed of the Lord say, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So, he said, you're going to say this. You're going to say what he did. So, he begins to explain what he did. So, the redeemed must say this. So it's more than saying, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, I'm redeemed. That's not what he's saying. It actually means you're going to be explicit on that redemption, on that deliverance. Do you understand? Do you understand that? So every other thing he says after is what the redeemed should keep saying. Just like Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and I will say of the Lord. So everything from verse 2 down was what I will say. I will say of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say. What do you say? Whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy, he sent his word. You get it? So they say, that is, they say what is in line with what God has done as touching the enemy. Is that okay? Is that okay? Fine. Now look at this. So it is, they must say. So he mentions the enemy. And he mentions redemption. And he says he's redeemed. And look at that word distresses one more time. Psalm 25. Psalm 25 verse 17. Troubles of my heart are enlarged, who will bring me out of my distresses. Obviously here he's talking about sin. Because in verse 18, look upon my afflictions and my pain, and forgive all my pains. Are my sins. Psalm 25 verse 18. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 5. Someone say, did Paul write any book to Zephaniah? Exactly. I never heard about Zephaniah before. Zephaniah 1:5. The day is a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of cloud and thick darkness. So obviously, it seemed like that scripture, Psalm 107, was referring to the oppression of sin. Okay? Now, but he mentions healing. Healed, which is Rapha. Okay, would that scripture be a healing scripture or just a scripture on forgiveness of sins? Well, don't forget, we said that he used distresses and destructions in plural form. So in other words, he's saying different ways the enemy oppresses. Different ways that the enemy oppresses. For example, you know, sickness definitely will be seen in that light. How do we know? How do we see that? Look at Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38. I know some theologians. Now I remember there was someone on Twitter. She used to talk about marriage and romance and relationships and stuff like that. And she's a friend on Twitter. And then she puts out, I want to believe she's a friend. Sorry, he's a he. Sorry. I don't believe it's a she, not a he. Because I'm just thinking about it right now. I'm not sure whether it's a he or a she. Maybe I assumed it has to be a she because he or she always talks about romance. So maybe in my mind, I thought just basically, thought about, it's not my fault. I gave a video lap yesterday in a very small riddle, and I was shocked. And all the people I gave riddles to today were all women. So I said, a boy and a doctor were in a fish. The boy is a doctor's son, but the doctor is not his father. And then they began to think, and I thought, this is sick. When I was asked that question, I answered very easily, and they were all women. They were wondering and wondered, the boy is a doctor. I say, it's so simple. The doctor is his mom. They never thought that could be referring to the mom. It's just the way we think. They never thought, and they were all women of God. And I get to where I was now. Huh? Oh, he or she. Oh, he, she. So, like I said, I also had mindset that it has to be a she, but he may be a he, she, or be she, he, whatever. He said, well, all these theologians, they don't have power, they don't have revelation, they don't have this, it's just arguing the Bible, and no lives are changed. So I responded to her, and I said, hey, isn't that a sweeping statement? Every pastor should be a theologian. You have to be very specific. I said, Paul says every pastor should be a theologian. And then she went quiet, because obviously she was reading the Bible. So when I say theologians, don't ever think theologians are evil people. No. So that's just why I say that. So when you say theologians, they say things like, well, some theologians say, well, every time they talk about sickness, I've discovered this kind of theology. And they always avoid talking about the devil. They always avoid talking about the devil. They say, well, you know, that's our lot on earth and all that stuff. Jesus was explicit. In fact, if you check out the healing ministry of Jesus, watch it very well. Every time he ministers to the sick in a crowd, every time there's a crowd and he ministers to the sick en masse, there's always casting out of devils.
And the same thing in the book of Acts. Acts 5. Notice Acts 5. Acts 5 was when there was a mass healing. Acts 5 from verse 15. When Shadrach, Peter, you find that they were casting out of devils. Also when Philip in Samaria. Every time there's a crowd, there will be demons in operation. Acts 19 as well, verse 11 and 12. So I said, you can't, how in the world would you talk about sickness and disease and then you don't want to talk about them? Are you afraid? In fact, one time I was having a Bible study with some folks. Well, eventually it became something else, but we were studying, that was about 8 years ago. And they said, if I see a demon, somebody who is possessed of a demon, he said, I'll go to one corner and ask God to take control. Now, as he said those statements, we're in a sitting room, so three of us were having a Bible study. They sat like this. They said, I sat here, and they had the Bibles. I didn't have any. So, he looked at me, I looked at him. You know, there's a way you look at someone in the same room. Like, what did he just say? He said, I think God should just take control. I said, no. Jesus didn't say go into all the world and touch the demons. He said, cast out demons. Yeah, they all go. But he should say, well, and then he said, you know, God has anointed your own ministry. And I said, no. He said, he that believes. He didn't say he has anointed like my own ministry. You know. So whenever I talk about sickness and disease, we must be able to see Satan and the devil and not avoid. You know, there are some theologies that avoid the devil. They don't even mention him at all, either out of respect, out of honor, or out of fear. You know, so you're not too sure which of them, you know, they don't mention the devil at all. Now look at this. Acts 10:38. Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now, he didn't anoint Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. Okay? He anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and Jesus went about with power. Is that clear? Right. And with power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of who? Of who? Of the devil. For God wasn't in. I've discovered this. Every time I use this text of scripture, every time I, in my traveling meetings, if I go on and use this scripture, people seem to, now we use this very loose word, they seem to have faith quickly when you let them see the source of the sickness. And you're not trying to explain, you know, just say, the devil. And then we deal frontally with the devil. So our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, you know, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That word oppressed of the devil. And now what you notice is very key. Is a word that is a synonym to Sheshith or Sasha. Synonym. It's like a transliteration of what we just read in Psalm 107 and verse 20. Are you still there? Is the word katadunastino. Don't worry, I'll spell it for you. K-A-T-A. Kata means down, right? Right? I hope you know that by now. Kata means to come down. Kata, come down. Right? Kata dunastino. That is kata, is K-A-T-A. Don't go and spell Jimmy Kata. D-U-N-A-S-T-U-O. Kata dunastio. It means to come down harshly. Remember what James said about the rich oppressing the poor in James 2:6. That's the word katadanus, the same word. The rich oppressing the poor in James 2:6. Same text. Katadunastio. It means to bring down. So, that helps us to understand what the psalmist was saying. Do you understand? Do you understand? And obviously, people can be delivered from sickness and disease just like this, and they are not saved. Because this text is not referring to salvation or forgiveness of sins, it's referring to physical healing. So,
pay attention to this. In Luke 13, Jesus, Luke 13, Jesus was teaching verse 10 in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. How many years? 18. I'll wait for you. Quickly get there. Who had a spirit of infirmity. 18 years. That's a whole lot of time. You agree with me? A long time. 18 years. Spirit of infirmity. 18 years will mean. Yes, got a man. That's a 196 months. Am I right? Am I right? So how many days is that? 30 days? That's almost 6. How many? That's about 6,000? Huh? Almost 6,000 days. 196 months times 30 is about 6,000 days. Huh? So 6,000 days of being bound over like this. 6,000 days. You know, it's likely that she's accustomed to eating like that, sleeping like that, waking up like that. And so a demon can be involved in something and just adjust. Everybody adjust it. Suche matizo. Demon confirms, you confirm. 18 years. Bound. Spirit of infirmity. 18 years. And was bound together and could in no wise, that is, for 18 years, she couldn't stand up like this. I've seen that before. And just like this. That is, she couldn't look up for 18 years. Glory to God. That is, bound, bent over like this. And Jesus was sitting in the synagogue on a Sabbath day and see what religious folks had to say. The Bible says he saw her and called and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thy infirmity. It's so shameful that this has been used for women conferences. So shameful. And then say, woman, you are loose. And then they start asking about women problems. Emotional distress, marital issues, those who have had 4 marriages or 6, those who have been several divorced, those who have changed names like 4 times, and those who have different cases in their lives, say, woman, thou art loosed. And then there is a, oh yeah. And I kind of think, be smart enough to read the pretext, and then the post-text, and just, as you see it like this, and the pastor say, woman, thou art loose, say. God forbid, bad thing. Because he's referring to someone who was bent over for 18 years. So if you're not bent over 18 years, why say yes? Hope you get my point. That's how we leave scriptures, you know, to make it say what we don't say. But he's not referring to being loose from, emotional trauma. He's talking about a spirit of infirmity, a demonic operation. So the Bible says, he said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity, which refers to sickness. Notice the word loosed. It's the word apoluo in the Greek. A-P-O-L-U-O. Luo has to do with loose. And the way when apo is used, remember what apo? Apo is what? Complete. Right? Apo is complete. Apo. Apocalypsis. Revelation. We also have apokatalasso. Complete reconciliation. So, this is apo luo. Luo is to lose, that is set free.
I didn't say Lu, I said Luo. And I said Apolu. Lu is something else that shouldn't be found in your notes. It means to be from your infirmity, woman, thou art loosed. Now, if you have this Jesus, by the time we get to 16, Jesus speaks about the woman and he says, we'll get to that. So he said, be loosed from your infirmity. And then he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Praise God. I know people that would have said, if this was shown on TV, I know that, immediately, and they're born again. I was in someone's house around one Elson estate, and we were watching a Christian meeting, and then someone who was deaf, you know, began to, you know, hear, and then there was a guy said, right beside me. So what happened? I said nothing. He's just like, no. I said, what did you expect to happen? It was just like the way it was. I said, no, tell me what you expected to happen. The 2 weeks after. One month after. Say, no, I'm just trying to say. I said, yeah, you live in unbelief. I don't doubt miracles. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. Have some people grip and walk immediately. Praise God. And they began to walk. There was a fellow in one of our meetings. The first time he was going to walk, he began to rejoice in the spirit. Miracles Extraordinary 1996. He began to rejoice in the spirit. I was somewhere. A guy, the first time he would speak out. The first time he would speak out, he spoke in tongues. So what are you talking about? Praise God. Well, I know. It's just like... you know, idiots like that will watch romance films and they'll be crying. Oh, he left her. Oh, he left her. You see the power of God? And you're saying, immediately. You know, and then that mentality even goes to Nigerian movies. If they want to do somebody, and they call his name, they say, Shagu! You say, hell! He just starts misbehaving. When they now take him to a church, usually white garment. And the pastor is talking. He says they have to fast. Satan, sharp. God, process. So you can see that that unbelief is prevailing. The process, you have to fast. He says, go and show and bring something. Whereas the other person now, he just called the name. And it happens sharp. Yeah. So, you know, immediately, praise God. Hallelujah. The demon left. Then the Bible says, the woman straightened up immediately. So how can that person just get, I'll be running like that. You think they didn't go and pay? Give the guy money to come. And then, come and demonstrate. Very funny. That was what I was told about Idahosa years back. That he will gather people and give them money. The archbishop said, why would I
take a lot of money and give it to all these people. So that they will come and do what? He said, why would I? He said, I'd rather take money from them. That's the Archbishop. He said, why would I give you money? You understand? And I didn't. I was thinking like that too. See, my brother was ill. And he was on the bed, on the couch. And he was preaching. As he was preaching, I saw a miracle. And I was... Anyway, before then, had gone to a program where I did miracles live by Dr. Malkmai. So I was... My faith was building up. By the time he said, there's someone here. And he was... The admission was so specific. And I said, that's my brother. I ignored the agbada he was wearing and the chain. I didn't care. That's his body. He said, lay your hands. I laid my hands on my brother. And my brother got up. Said, Jesus Christ. Immediately. He didn't get up like this. His hand, first of all, came up. Hallelujah. I believe in miracles. Praise God. Still out there? So here he was. And then, you know, the religious people, the ruler of the synagogue answered with the indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. I don't know greater fools than these guys. And then he said unto me, there are 6 days in which men ought to walk in them. They come to be healed, not on the Sabbath day, as though they healed any in their lifetime. Some people say, sometimes it's just miracles, miracles, miracles. They say that often because they don't have. Just miracles, miracles, miracles. I've discovered that small churches talk about discipleship. You don't observe it. It's discipleship. Discipleship. Are the people being discipled? Also, if you're a traveling minister, you talk about people getting the word. If you're a pastor, let them grow. Let them be trained. Language will change. If you're a worker, you'll be saying, but why can't we? Or why can't we? But why can't we? If you're a leader, you speak less. You say, let us just pray. Do you understand? So, that's by the way. You know, people make a lot of noise. When people talk to them, I know the kind of experience they have. You know, just like before you become a father. You don't know, but when you become a father, and you start seeing children, you start giving thanks to your parents. Say, wow, wow, wow. They must have handled a whole lot with me. You get it? So you can make a lot of noise. So these guys were just noise makers. And Jesus didn't try to talk to them in mild words. Say, hypocrite. Do not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or an ass from the stall and lead them away to watering? Ought not this woman, I love verse 16, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, the word there is D-E-O, whom he has bound. It means that word bound has to do with chains. 43 times this is in Greek. It's bound this day. From 18, these 18 years been loosed from this born on the day, on the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Sickness is an oppression. You get it? You must see it that way. It's an oppression. So, Jesus treated sickness like an oppression. Is that clear? He saw sickness, he treated it that way, like an oppression. That this is oppressive. Pain is oppressive. Hallelujah. Look at the ministry of Jesus, Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. The word deliverance is the word aphesis, the same word used for forgiveness of sins. Luke 4:18.
the recovering of sight to them who are blind. That recovering of sight, it means to look up. It also refers to deliverance from oppression. Annabelle says in the Greek, I'll spell it for you. A-N-A-B-L-E-P-S-I-S. Anablepsis means to look up. Luke 4:18.
So there's that God's in the business of setting people free from oppression, from oppressive things.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So praise the Lord. That's why last week, you know, we majored on one area, if you can remember, that faith begins when what? The will of God. Where and when the will of God is known. You must settle it in your mind. You know, like Brother Hagin would say, what many believers battle is not the devil directly. It's wrong thinking. Wrong thinking produces wrong believing. Wrong believing will produce wrong speaking. You know, there's virtually many things. There are things that people just say, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Do you need to do something wrong before the devil attacks you? No. You don't need to do something wrong. That's why the Bible said, resist the devil, he will flee from you. When you resist steadfast in faith. Yeah, you don't have to do something wrong. So, did I do something wrong? I had a meeting yesterday, and the three of us in the meeting, we are Christians, if I were all ministers, but it was not a Christian meeting. So we were having a meeting, we were discussing. So the other fellow now told us his experience, a very rough experience like that he had. He was a preacher as well, but we were discussing something else, not ministry. So when we left, you know, as we left, actually, he had marital challenges. So he told us, well, he was just getting married yesterday, the day before yesterday, that he had to remarry. His wife died, and so he's remarrying and a couple of things like that. So he just said, bless God. And I didn't even major on the fatality he made. I said, glory to God. It's a good home, you know, and I just left him. So the other person now told me that he's disturbed. I said, why? He said, why would that happen to him? I said, what do you mean? He said, he just looked at when they were in the university. You know when that was? That was 30 years ago. Okay, there's 18 years here already, but then. he said, 30 years ago. I said, well, there was this girlfriend he had. They were both unbelievers. Alright? I said, this girlfriend he had. And so. I said, maybe that is the reason. He said, I'm not judging him, but that's exactly what you're doing. And so I said, well, I said, it's not true. I said, what he did 30 years ago does not scare the power of God. And he said, it's true, Sha. I said, let me go further. I said, there are people who don't serve Jesus. Not just that, who hate him. And they don't have the kind of problems. He said, well, it's true. I said, why would a Christian, why not let's just address the devil? Why are you addressing the oppressed? You want to oppress the oppressed the more? He said, it's true. You can't always be tracing, well, I saw someone's car. He said, if you are hush, I know, I'm trying to remember such a ridiculous thing on the guy's car. And he said, if you are so and so, he said, if you are suffering, check your offering. If it is tight, check your tithe. And I kind of felt. I don't know about you, I got brains. And I'm thinking, I just read something a couple of days ago. They said, just 62 people in the world, 62 people, not 62%, they hold half of the world's wealth. That is, if there are 6 billion people in the world, 62 people own what 3 billion have. And the 62, they have not one single belief. So you can see who needs to give an offering. Did you get that? An offering to get a brain. That's what I meant. So you get it clear. That's absolute nonsense. Someone say, well, when my car tires went, I told my driver, I didn't pay your tithe. How about that? Do you understand? These are manipulative teachings. It's so funny, but you see, why is the next thing on your mind sin? Why didn't you just look at the devil? Why is the next thing sin? Sin that Jesus paid his price for. Why was that the next thing on your mind? Well, why is your business? I remember years back, I went to prison in Benin City in 1994 or 95. So I'm not getting old, I just mix up the years because they ran very quickly. If I recently, I started mixing up 2006 and 2007. So pray for me. No, I tried to be like Brother Hagin, but man, I can't. Hey, Brother Hagin was in 1994, February 14th. It was a Tuesday, 4 o'clock. Brother Hagin. And you get it right. And if you go check the dictionary, the calendar is exactly what it says. Brother Hagin. Brother talks is exactly like that. He says, so and so date, so and so time. Every time I'm studying and I'm too lazy to check the concordance, I just call him. Hey, bro, that scripture, this one I said is here. Thank you. I just shot people. You have it there. It's as simple as that. You know, but I was preaching somewhere and then I was, and I didn't ask for details. So I was also out, yeah, I was going to minister 3 times. I was ready to minister. So that's how they brought the whole congregation to come for counseling. I said, Jesus Christ. I've been wondering, everybody queued up like that. I just came in, I took a bottle of Coke, and I said, so what's going on here? He said, nothing. That's the counseling. What? By the time I was ready for the evening session, I was like, oh my God. I said, where can I see my home? You get it? So this woman came up and she's selling jewelry and stuff like that. And she says, evangelist. That's what I was called back then. One was a young evangelist and they want me to minister to them. How can I bless you? Well, you are young to my colleague. Young evangelist. Evangelist. I mean, she say this my, she went on and on and on that she thinks there's a demon that has been oppressing her business. So I just pray for me. I know, say God can. She said she was even the one telling me what I should do. That when you lay your hands like this, I know. She was already telling me direction on how the power of God will go. So I said, where is your shop? I don't go again, no. I said, why? I don't go anymore. I said, why? I just feel that I should do it at home. So that's the first demon. You don't live on the road. Who receives? Even those who sell things we know, they put adverts out for us to renew. You now took your own car. What deliverance you need is deliverance to common sense. Just like those people who have exams. I remember when them pass the land and go in school. They told me to come and share with them during the exam period. So they all came with the Bibles. They never heard me in that dimension. Were you in school then? You were still in school then, all right. So I got in there and I taught them hard work. Go and read. And I was quoting the Bible. As they left the tent, everybody ran to the class.
Deliverance unto common sense. Do you understand? You want to go into an industry, you are studying the Bible. Are you going to the ministry? You should know the difference. So I told her, I said, there's no demon involved here. Alright, this is just basically, she said, okay, that she thinks that she has a child for one man when she was in school. You know all those days now? As if I should know. You know, when we were young, those days, I said, no, I don't know. I've been a new creature for some time. you know all those days now, when all those things now. And I said, I'm thinking that the devil, I said, there's nothing like that. It's nothing like that. God does not bring out your sins like this. This is it. That's where your problem is. What do I do about it? Are you asking me? So you need to take that off your mind. Praise God. If there's a sickness coming on your body, there's a sin, address it. Don't look for another address. Say, I know what happened. During the prayer chain, my mind was not there. And God saw it. He waited for me till afternoon. Or see a dick. It's not supposed to think like that. So we said faith begins where the will of God is known. Remember Job. Job kept saying the wrong things. Job said, the Lord gave it. They still say it today. After Job had been rebuked, people still say it. The Lord gave it, the Lord take it. And then I say, blessed be the name of the Lord. If they say, the Lord give it healing and take sickness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives forgiveness and takes sin. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They are saying, the Lord gives you a house, he takes back the house. So I say, well, if God can see that you are too young to drive a Porsche 2016 model, he doesn't want you to lose your salvation. So he takes the car away from you. But those that have this kind of testimonies, you can just tell their background. You don't have to drive it if you own it. God will give you the car and then get your driver. Not true. You don't have to. You can own a house. Say, if the house is too big. Abba. Don't let your background rob you of who you are in Christ. You get that. So, he said, the Lord give it, the Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said that. Job 1:21 and 22. But we found out in Job 3, verse 34 to 26, that Job was constantly in fear. Remember that? Job 1:6, he was in presumption. He was living constantly in fear. You know, some of you think it's bad. You are being cautious by saying, some people say, I don't want to die, oh. Die? Where did you get that from here? When some of us are giving, the way we are giving, as you are giving like this, let us give. They're giving, say, I'm just thinking. If I give this, I'll be poor. Did you get it? Why did you think about being poor? Why did that come up to your mind? So Job was constantly giving, doing things in fear. But look at Job 1:2-12. When Satan, in that conversation, I've explained where that conversation came from for you. God said to him, all he has is already in your power. All he has is already in your authority. Now, how did Satan know that? Say, all you have is already in authority. Because Job definitely said, I was not in safety, yet destruction came. This was a fellow who obviously thought that by much worrying, he would get God's attention. Worry is not in faith. It's not of faith and can't be of faith. It says it's in your power already. Now, something intriguing there is that when that statement was made, pay attention to this now, it's in your power. How come Satan didn't kill Job or get him killed? Remember that, pay attention, this is very vital. The Bible says death reigned from Adam to Moses. And historically, we found out that Job lived around the time of Abraham, just after the flood. That's what history lets us know. It's the first book of the Bible we're told. So way before Moses. And that's the period Satan, even though he had the power of death, according to Hebrews 2:14 and 15, was not aware of it. He wasn't aware. He hadn't mastered the power of death. He wasn't aware of it at all. And you could see the limitation of Satan himself in that scenario. So Satan took his authority in that context from Job's words. What he kept saying. And Job's words were fueled by his wrong idea about God. So, well, it's God. Maybe God. Maybe, and you know, there's something about when we believe God is doing something, we just accept it. He just accepted it. So, here we are. Job had a wrong thinking. He had a wrong opinion about God. He had a wrong opinion about God. We taught something late last year, I believe. What does God really want? Remember it? What does God really want? Sometimes you just get fed up. What exactly does He want from me? Hey. If I have this, He says, if I'm healthy, He's not happy. If I have enough money, and more than enough, He's not happy. He cuts the... If I'm growing up spiritually, he says, you are too fast. He cuts it. He just doesn't like things blows on me. He will fight back. You know, but that's not true. God wants you well. God wants you blessed. Praise God. God wants you healed. Praise the name of Jesus. That's what he wants. Now listen, in Luke, I remember, Luke 9, Jesus and his disciples were on the way somewhere, and some folks didn't accept him. And then he said, can't you just call out fire like Elias did? And then he said, he rebuked them in verse 55, and he said, know ye not the spirit that you are of, the manner of spirit that you are of? And the Bible says in verse 56, he says, the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Hallelujah. Still out there? So, faith begins where the will of God is known. You need to assert it. You need to accept it. You need to see it that healing is God's will for you. Say, healing is God's unconditional will for me. You cannot, you see, don't say, well, God did that thing so that I can be committed. You can't be committed in sickness. What kind of commitment is that? Well, just wanted me to be focused. That's why I'll be very focused. I'll be very, very focused. How do you get focused? So, you have to settle that in your mind. And you know, I say it like this. There are some of us, we've gotten a hold of the Word. And that is, we attend a church where the Word of God is taught just like ours and several others. But you see, somewhere in your mind, deep down, I mean there are some things you have known. Like 15 BC. Before Christ. That are dead. You just look. You just look. Subtly, somewhere in your mind, you still have the urge to confess your sins. I know I boast on the pulpit when I'm preaching. I know I say this thing. But you are the potter and the clay. Don't take my boasting for permanent boasting. I'm sorry. Deep down. Sorry. You know, there's those of us here. So some folks, even in spite of being led, bitterly led by the Spirit of God, they say, maybe it's God's will. It just come out from nowhere. It's been there. It's not from nowhere. It's there. Maybe it's the will of God. Because someone was disturbed. Something bad happens. And we pray though. You even confess the word. But you know, we just throw in the towel. Because somewhere in your mind there is a thought that you've heard, sometimes from the pulpit. Praise God. That's why you need to allow the word of God to sink. It has to sink inside. There was a time I was believing God for healing. And I was on this tape all day. I mean all day. Just hear it in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, till I could preach it to myself. In and you need to drown unbelief in your mind. I mean, let the unbelief die. Starve it. The brother Higgins will say, some of us need to starve our doubts by fasting. With fasting, you starve your doubt and feed your faith. Like he said. So when your mind, in the recesses of your mind, Brother Higgins was telling how he was believing God for healing. He was 16. And he had been dead fast. So, they called in a Methodist preacher. And the Methodist preacher came. He was so glad that the preacher was around. So his faith was up. And then the preacher just came. But before then, he said somehow he was reading his Bible and got a hold of Mark 11:23. He said he read it. And he confessed it. He said thousands of times overnight. And he was still in the position. And then the preacher came up. Preacher looked at him. He saw his case. He said, don't worry, boy. It'll soon be over. And he just so glad. Hooray. Soon be over. So the preacher went to the family. So he moved close. He got down from the bed and then crawled to hear what they were saying. He was excited. He heard, what songs does he want for his funeral? You know, except about him. What are his favorite songs? And the mom was crying, the grandmom was crying. So they came into the room to talk with him. And they said, what songs do you want, Ken? He said, well, any one. I won't be around anyway. How would I know what you sang? So they left the room. So he just screamed top of his voice. I'm not dead yet. And I'm not going anywhere. We'll talk about that now. So he began to speak the word of God. He said, for several weeks. Some of us, by the time you do 3 hours, nothing. 4 hours, nothing. 5 hours. Your confession says, your confession changes from healed to I will be. It shall happen. It shall be healed. I give thanks in all things. You following this at all? Sometimes it's some things in our minds. Praise God. Have you ever wondered, maybe, this is not sickness now. Maybe in your home, maybe your wife does something and you're just not happy, your wife or husband is not happy. He's, one uncle. Just remember one uncle, when you were young, said something. This is what he said, oh. This is what. Many of us are so sin conscious. So sin conscious. That is sin. How did you get that from? Jesus healed sinners only.
So, if he wasn't healing the disciples, who was he healing then? The guys who hear the word, they go, woo! He didn't touch them. Or the guys just say, I don't believe in you, but let me be healed. I don't think you are the Savior, but let me be healed. You're the Son of God, but just give me power. They go, heal.
Then you're born again, and then you assume, while those sinners were Jesus conscious, you are sin conscious. They were Jesus conscious. They believed he healed their sickness. Still out there? Look at Luke 17:19. Praise God.
Now, there were lepers who Jesus cleansed earlier on in verse 14. So one of them came back, and I want you to pay attention to this. And then he said, Were then not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Verse 17. There was not found that returned to give glory, save this stranger. Then he said unto him, let's take verse 19 together. Arise, go thy way, thy faith. Take that one more time. Thy faith, what made him whole? His faith. Your faith has made you whole. In other words, those who were healed in the ministry of Jesus played a part. They played a part. Your faith has made... Now, you see that statement again in Matthew 9:22. The same story, actually. Matthew 9:22. Your faith has made you whole. Matthew 9:22, the same story. No, sorry, not the same story. That's another story. Which is the same story in Mark 5:34. Mark 5:34 is a woman with the issue of blood. We'll come to her, but the same statement, your faith has made you whole. So, we must look at what Jesus said about respiration. I told you earlier that in the days of Jesus, in those days in the four Gospels, the specifics explain the mass healings. It's in the specifics that you know the part that the people pay. Now, look at that Matthew 8. There was a centurion. And I want to speak out two people now. There were two instances where Jesus commended men for having great faith. Two instances. The first one was Matthew 8, particularly verse 10, the centurion. The centurion came to Jesus and said, look, my servant lied at home, sick. And Jesus said, well, I come, I lay my hands. He said, you don't have to. And he made a very outstanding statement that first of all got me thinking. He said, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. All right, not worthy to come under my roof. You know. Well, anybody, nobody, not nobody really is worthy that he should come under the roof. Really, there was nothing he said that was crazy. He just simply meant, hey, you're a clean man. I'm not. But he said, speak your word only, and my servant will be healed. He said, I'm a man under authority and I have soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to one, come, and he comes. I say to one, do this, and he does it. And Jesus marveled and said, my God, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. He marveled at such outstanding exercise of faith. He marveled at it. Now, the second instance is Matthew 15. The Syrophoenician woman called the Canaanite. She came to Jesus, and then Jesus again says to the same person and says, oh, Bible says Jesus marveled at our great faith. Jesus said, you have great faith. Jesus was commending Matthew 15. Oh man, great is thy faith, and unto thee even as you want. Verse 28. What did the woman do outstanding? Again, Two things I want you to do. One thing I want you to observe in these two instances. The two of them were not Jews. The two of them. They were not Jews. So, they simply stayed on desire. Do you notice that the centurion didn't say anything about Jehovah? Anything about God? He just said, look, if you have something that is in your hands, if you have authority over something, you sell it to God. And he comes, go, and he goes. I've seen you heal the sick. I know you have the authority. Just speak words. Jesus looked at the man and said, man, you got it. That's what I've been doing all along. And then this woman too, she said, you know, Jesus said, I've not sent, you know, but to the Lordship of House of Israel. And then she said, she begged Jesus. As she was begging Jesus, he didn't respond. Then he said to her, I will not take what is meat for the children, bread, and cast it to the dogs. And then she spoke out in 27. Matthew 15. She said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Martha said, wow, what faith. What was the point about our faith? He said, be it unto you as you want. In other words, there was strong desire. There was a persistence in what she wanted. Each fellow was responsible in how or for how the power of God came to them. Each of them. Notice again, none of these two people were sick. Not the woman, not the centurion. They spoke words of strong desire that was in clarity. Strong desire. And Jesus called that desire, unyielding desire, faith. How did Jesus know? He knew it by what they said. So faith is located in words. Say that one more time. In words. Your words locate you. Your words locate you. Syrophoenician woman spoke words. Centurion spoke words. And in the two instances, it was what they said that God those folk healed. It was what they said. In the two instances, none of what happened depended on Jesus. None. You still there? In Matthew 8, he said, I've come to you, said, don't bother. This is what I want. In Matthew 14, 15, he said, well, I'm going to send to you. He said, well, if you're not sent to me, I'll still follow you. Wherever you drop the bread, I'll be available to take part of bread. He said, wow, look back. Ah, that's some faith. So, in the two instances, faith gave direction to the power of God. The two instances. The third one we're going to look at quickly and closely is Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood. Again, you know, we read Luke 13. The woman was sick for 18 years. Now, in this instance, this woman was sick 12 years. 12 years hemorrhaging. I checked that condition, you know, in a medical dictionary. It's a sort of condition that drains her of strength. Such a condition that drains our strength. That she could literally be walking on the road and fall down. She was hemorrhaging. It wasn't a menstrual cycle at all. It was worse than that. She was bleeding big time. 12 years. And then the Bible says she spent all that she had. You know, what oppression is that? Which God would want you to spend your life saving from sickness and disease? Which God would do that to you? Which God would want you to sell your house and your car to get to be healed? Which God would do that to you? Quit thinking that stupid. There's only one person who oppresses, and that's the devil. And this woman, she heard of Jesus. What did she hear of Jesus? I'll tell you soon. What she said didn't come from her.
If you look, but she wasn't the first person to touch Jesus' clothes and be healed. In Luke's gospel, look at it. In Luke's gospel, and she wasn't the only, pardon me. In Luke's gospel chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 19, the multitude sought to touch him. There went virtue out of him and healed them all. Luke's gospel 6:19. So, when she heard of Jesus, she said, I will touch his clothes and I'll be whole. For she said, the Bible says, look at it in Mark 5. For she said, the Greek is continual, she kept saying, praise God, she kept saying it, she kept saying it. Faith is not what you say once, it's what you keep saying. Like how Pastor Mark Hankin says it. He says, if many of us could know that our shouting and rejoicing is not needed in the church, it's needed where we leave the service. Glory! How wonderful is it, I am! My Lord and God! My God is working! Glory! This is not where you need it. You need it at night when your chest is going, oh, and you don't. You don't say, ah! Oh, God. God. Ah, this thing is crazy, man. It's a killing pain, man. You just said, glory to God, my God is working. No. This is where you ought to say. Praise God. Yeah. Ah! Almost in pain. Ah! What is this? Ah! And I have an appointment tomorrow. Ah, can I make it? Can you just wait a second? You just text your Zona lead pastor, sir, I may not be able to make, that's the night before your Zona meeting. You may not be able to make the Zona meeting. I'm not feeling fine. Not feeling fine. Yes, sir. Thank you for your kind response to my earnest desire. Do you know some of us take time to explain to believers why we are sick and why we cannot come to church. You need to know what I went through, what I'm going through. My whole body is out. If I can't feel again. Ah, never seen this kind of before. I tried yesterday. They brought food. I saw the food. It was the food that I became hungry. I can't just understand. Do you know the length of that time ought to have been used for faith? You directed your entire body to say, we are all sick, sick, we are all sick, 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 sick. So they just responded, sick, 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 sick. He just responded like that. But this woman, she's been, imagine she's been to doctors. Doctors. Different doctors. And all of them say, well, what do you say the problem was again? Check them. 12 years. And she's in Luke. You know, the student doctors know her. So those in 500 level, those in 400 level. Have you seen that woman? You show blood now. She says on the right. When you enter H ward to the right, she's there. You see, she always wears blue. Ah, is that woman? Oh, that woman. Oh. So when everybody comes up, they come down and say that, you know, you see this case, that case, so, so and so, this, and all that. In this kind of instance, you just manage the patient. Oftentimes, you ensure the patient is not dehydrated. In this kind of instance, so that she's listening to all the things they are saying. Imagine the kind of unbelief. Then she heard of Jesus. That's why she kept saying. She didn't go immediately. She kept saying. She kept saying. She kept saying.
She kept saying. She kept saying. That means when she was in the kitchen, she kept saying, I'll touch his clothes, I will be healed. When she was driving, she kept saying, I'll touch his clothes, I'll be healed. She kept saying, she kept saying. You know, she didn't go and tell people, praise the Lord, people, when I touch his clothes, I will be healed. She didn't say all that. She just kept saying. She just kept saying. Now, notice though something. Do you know that Jesus' clothes were likely to have been washed by his disciples? You know, it's very likely that his clothes were probably touched by different people. You know, different. In fact, where he was down on the cross, they used it to bathe. Same clothes. In fact, in the crowd that day, people have been touching the same material. Emoji. You get different things. Some folks will watch a TV program and they'll say, Father, I received my healing. And they'll say, Jericho. Is this what he wants? And he has typhoid. He'll say, is this what this world is turning to? Is this man or is he man of God? Oh God! Yeah, Shade. But I know, is this a son of God? Is it? Are you not really oppressed? You get what I'm talking about here? That means, really, the power of God shows up when you want it. It doesn't show up when you don't want it. And so she said, and then she touched his clothes, and Jesus said, what happened? And Jesus turned around, that is very, very vital. And then, when Jesus told her in verse 34, woman, go that way, or go in peace, your faith has made you whole. How did Jesus know about her faith? She told Jesus, sir, when I heard about you, and I heard about your healing ministry, I said it, I will be healed when I touch your clothes. So I said, so when did you hear about it? I heard about it last year, May. And I kept saying it. And I kept saying it. Till I knew in my heart. Go ahead and do it now. I was preaching somewhere. It was an interdenominational meeting in 1995. And I'm preaching. And this lady, she has a paralysis there in her body. Just the left part of her. And I'm preaching. I didn't know her. I'm just preaching. I didn't plan to pray for the sick. So I'm just preaching and I'm saying the power of God is here, you know. And I touched her. And I touched her and she got healed. She said at home, he's going to lay hands on me. And I said, I wasn't laying hands on anybody. But I laid hands on her because our faith said so. Glory to God. Our faith said so. So, listen now. Faith gives direction to the power of God. Say with me, faith gives direction to the power of God. Quickly go to Mark 11, 22, 23. Jesus had just spoken to a fig tree and it dried up from the roots. Mark 11, 23, 22, 23. And then the disciples, they said, Master, the fig tree you cursed has dried up. They go, he said, have faith in God. Or have the God kind of faith. You know, that statement is so simple that you need someone to confuse you. What Jesus said is so simple. What Charles Carpenter said, the Bible is so simple, you need someone to help you misunderstand it. He said, have faith in God. Or have the faith of God. Someone said, what he was trying to say. I was somewhere and I saw this guy, they were trying to explain that statement. So when he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall see this mountain, that you see, Jesus was talking about the Gentile salvation. I said, And they were trying to re-explain, say, what he was really saying there. Is it theological? I said, no. He was very clear. In fact, I let them finish with their full, tomfoolery. So I said, come back. There are two accounts of this. Matthew's Gospel 21. And we saw it. And he said it, you shall not just do what was done to the fig tree. Jesus was very clear. But you shall say to this man, and they went quiet. I said, let me confound your confusion one more.
In Matthew 17, when they brought someone who was a vexed of devils, he used the same illustration. He said, you will say to the mountain. And he was talking about sickness. And then they were looking at it and said,
you know, but you see, people can so confuse you about simple things.
Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you. They said, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. So they said, Sirema. If you have stopped there, have. You know. Jesus, what? The victory has done, and it's sorry. What happened, Master? Have faith in God. Or have the God kind of faith. Just have the faith of God.
Ah!
Jesus. See, that's it too. That's it.
That's it. Have faith in God. It's good.
Say, Muji. Faith in you. It's faith.
No, he said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say, he said, whosoever. You know, Jesus was not made up. He said, I will explain it when I understand. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Hallelujah. He shall have whatsoever he saith. You know, Jesus mentioned God just once. In verse 22. He doesn't mention God again. Just like his healing ministry. He said, whosoever shall say, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to, be thou removed, cast, and shall have that in his heart for you, and shall be those things which he saith, he, for, he shall have whatsoever he saith, five. He mentions you five times, mentions God once. You listen? Five times. Whosoever shall say, he shall have thousands of, but shall believe those which he says, shall whatever he says. Then he's talking about shall believe in his heart. So I say, I believe. He mentions believing just once, speaking three times. You know why? That means we have more work to do on the speaking than the believing. Because we're already believers. If we get it wrong many times, this is what we say. The many of us, we believe. Say, I believe. Say, do you believe God works miracles? I believe all. And you know, there's no atmosphere, there's no better atmosphere than when you are in church. There's just this believing that comes upon you in church. Ah! Brother, God is faith. He's a miracle. Miracle worker. How are you? A miracle. I'm with me. But then you get outside. Reality. You know, you just switch off. So most of the time, it's not in the believing that we have a problem, as it were. It's in the speaking. It's in the speaking. Praise God. I said, praise God. Whosoever shall say. Praise God. And believe that whatsoever he said. He shall have whatsoever he says. Emphasis say. Emphasis say. Emphasis say. Say what? Well, what do you say? Well, I know God will do it at the appointed time. You have what you say. Well, I'm hoping. I'm trusting God to perfect. You have what you say. You have what you say. You have what you say. He shall have whatsoever he says. Power of God is at work in my body. Effecting the healing and a cure. Effecting the healing and a cure. Effecting the healing and a cure. Sometimes we get it wrong. Someone came to me one time and said, well, sir, I don't know what to do. I said, well, you know what to do? Let's talk. He kind of looked at me like, ah, this guy's so weird. He came back again and said, what I wanted to tell you yesterday sir, was that I don't know what to do. I said, I know what you said yesterday. Well, you know what to do? Let's talk. And I think he came back the fourth time or thereabout, maybe the third. Then he says, oh, sir,
I know what to do. I said, good, now let's talk. Let's find out how you know what to do. You see, don't start out in thinking you're talking realistically and then give an excuse for doubt and unbelief to have a hold over your mind. You just speak faith. I walk in the light of the Word of God. I walk in the healing power in the name of Jesus. Praise God. You know, doctors say that when they want to perform a surgery, these are neurosurgeons, they say, well, that one thing they do before they get you into the theater is that they ensure that your speech is okay. That when they discover that your speech is, you know, funny, they stop the surgery altogether. Because, you know, there's a whole lot that goes on by what you say. By what you say. They've watched it. There's something about what you say. I got the healing power of God in my body. In the name of Jesus. You know, you just say, oh, yeah! Something stupidly comforting about telling people that you're feeling pain. You just say, sorry. Thank you. Nothing happens. I've not heard sorry heal the sick. Sorry, oh. Ha! I just got healed. That ever happened to you before? It's just this temporary feeling of somebody cares for me. He cares for me. Sorry, eh? For several years, I didn't used to say sorry to people when they fall healed. But you see, I had to change. Because I was being seen as very devilish. I wouldn't say sorry to you. Say, how is that? Say, go and ask on God's word. I'll never say sorry. But the Bible says you mourn with them that mourn. So I have to take in that scripture on my heart and then walk on it. But the truth is, don't get used to people comforting you and there's no solution. Yeah, try and rest, eh? Try and rest. You've been resting before. Say, rest more. Don't let them go and say, rest in peace. You better get a hold of the word. Trying to accept people's stories, and then you become a deposit of stories. You better open your mouth on that bed and begin to speak God's word. Right there on that bed. Glory to God. I speak to you. What? Jesus didn't say speak about the mountain. He said you speak to, praise God. So I said speak to. So you will talk to the mountain. Don't just talk literally, I know God is a healer. I know God's power is here. Mm-mm. You speak to the mountain. You speak to the tumor. You speak to the growth. You speak to the heart problem. You speak to the broken condition. In the name of Jesus, I declare you God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. I close here. We've already known what the will of God is. Right? The will of God is healing. Amen. Since now we know the will of God. We have the faith of God. Then we use the faith of God. Praise the Lord. We speak to. When I saw a doctor years back, about 15 years today, and the man said, you know, this kind of thing, you know, he said, we might have to manage it for the rest of your life. You know, I said, no way. He said, I'm going to be healed. The man said, you know what I'm talking about? I said, no, you don't know what I'm talking about. So I began to speak the word. For weeks, he said, listen to me. You know, you're talking, so is there any problem? No, there's no problem. Listen to me. You're addressing the sickness. Listen to me. You're talking. Who are you talking to? Sickness. What? Are you okay? I'm talking to sickness. Hallelujah. Whosoever shall say to. Praise God. Say to. Glory to God. Say to. Don't say about. Don't say for. Don't say unto. Say to. You must be able to address the problem straight on. And headlong. Hallelujah. Say it too. Glory to his name. Whosoever shall say too. Glory to God. Say my faith makes me whole. Say my faith makes me whole. Hallelujah. Say one more time. Say my faith
makes me whole. A dear sister brought a cousin to her own meeting years back. She couldn't hear at all. The one hear. Since she was a year old. So she was used to listening like this. You know. So, after the meeting, she got filled with the Holy Ghost in that meeting. It was an evening service. She said, "Oh, sir, just want to thank you. I didn't know." So I said, "Oh, glory to God." So I was trying to say, I can't really hear that side. I said, "I can't hear and all that." So I very talk like this. So you can't hear like that. I said, "You should be able to hear that." She just smiled. I said, "Yeah, I'm joking. See, you can hear me." She said, "Well, I believe God. God will do it at his own time." I said, "No. God has no time called healing time. There's no time like that. So you shall have what you say." Amen. So I said, "I'm going to do something." So I turned to that. I think it was the right. Yeah. It was my left hair, right? So I said, "In the name of Jesus, I call you open." You know. And then she still was like that. So I said, "You're going to do this." We used to meet Fridays, I think. I forgot some days ago. So I said, "You're going to say it for 1 week. 1 week." Now, as we sat down, I explained, "So 1 week, you're going to keep saying it." My ears are open. My right ear is open. She said, "1 week. 1 week." She came to Friday. Again, I said, "I give thanks to you, Father, the ears," and nothing happened. He said, "Don't be downcast. Faith is a bulldog attitude. Say it again." So by the week after, I had literally forgotten. So I didn't put it to mind. I think I even dashed down from a meeting for that particular meeting. So she just raised her hand, we're giving thanks, and all that. It was a faith leading worship that just talked about the healing power and all that and all that. And that's how the air popped open. Hallelujah. You know, so I asked exactly. See, I just kept saying it and I said it and I said it. So I said it to a point that I ignored how my air was. I just stayed what I was saying. Praise God. Amen. Stay with it. Just stay with it. Stay with it. You shall have whatsoever you say. Say, "I have whatsoever I say." Say, "I have whatsoever I say." Say, "I have healing walking through my body right now in the name of Jesus." Next week we're going to look at Abraham and see what Abraham did. Praise God. You know, the Bible says Abraham called the things that be not as though they were. Amen. Faith walks in two places. On the heart and in the mouth. Amen. Faith is on our heart and faith should be on our lips. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Say, "The healing power of God is walking through me now, effecting the healing and bringing a cure in the name of Jesus." Mr. Hazel, just bless God. Thank you. Let's just speak words as we stand in faith. Speak words. Let's stand to our feet. Just speak words. Speak words. Just words. Just words. Don't sing. Just words. Words. Just words. Just words. Just words. Just words. We've had 18 years, we've had 12 years. None of them can defy the faith of God. Doesn't matter how long it's been. It's how persistent your faith is. Sickness can persist for 12 years. Faith can persist and resist longer. Faith's power cannot be overcome.
that can never be defeated. Speak the word. Hallelujah. Hold on one minute. I'm making, you know, I said something that my Pastor Mark said, I can see. He said that there's something, it's not in church that this has to be done more. It's actually when you are alone. There are people I can sense this evening. You need to lock yourself in the room and spend a whole day just speaking healing. I mean a whole day. Sometimes we act like we have another option. That's why we don't take those kind of steps. Brother Higgins said he was on that deathbed and he spoke. I had to literally shut myself in myself and just be speaking. Because sometimes we wait until we're in a desperate situation. You don't have to. You can actually lock yourself and a whole day and you go to work that day. After all, God forbid, if anything happens, will they still take you at work? Why not get healed first? Lock yourself up. And just dedicate quality time speaking God's word. God's word. You know, you can say today, I'm going to speak primarily about healing on my body. Primarily. Amen. Let's take healing seriously. Are you following what I'm saying? God is not against using medical help. No. But you see, the best of God is by faith. The very best of God. You will spend no dime. No side, what do you call it again? No side effects. The best of God. That's the best of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I walk in the best of God. I walk in divine healing. Supernaturally, my body gets healed by the power of God. Let's thank Jesus and worship Him tonight.